This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
On Sunday the 11th of July, England reached the furthest it's ever got in a major tournament in anyone that I know's lifetime. That day, England played the European Championships final against Italy at Wembley Stadium in hope of picking up their first trophy since the World Cup win against Germany in 1966. England fought a brave fight and the game literally went down to the wire with penalty kicks deciding who would win the trophy in the end. But it wasn't to be for England once again as penalties got the better of the team and defeated them, this very, very brave England team. This is the besotted Pride of West London podcast at the Euros. And I'm Billy Grant, and I was there, behind the goal, for every single minute of England's heroic Euro 2020 campaign. This was my 15th tournament, 7 World Cups, 7 Euros and 1 Women's World Cup. And I really did think the stars were aligning and it finally was coming home. Normally for each England tournament, I drop a few podcasts, but this time I decided to hold off and only brought out my recorder at the final. I really wanted to document, you know, what I thought was going to be a historic moment, but it wasn't to be. I tell you what, this podcast was never going to come out. But 2 weeks later, after reflecting and listening back to the excited voices, the way that we had the anticipation before the match, and to be quite honest with you, I had a lot of fun in this Euros. I thought, tell you what, why not? The fact is, this was a great tournament and England did us proud. And after a really shitty 18 months with the COVID and illnesses and work issues, England getting to this final was a fantastic release for many of us. We really needed this. But after the final whistle, something dark also happened. All three black England players who missed the penalties were badly racially abused. England's defeat to Italy in the European final showed how far as a team we've come, so close, but also how far behind as a nation we still are in some ways. And when it comes to race, prejudice and diversity, we still got some things that we need to do. But let's look back at the positive stuff. I'm going to take you back to the morning of the European Championships final day, and we're going to go through the joys and the pains of being a football fan whose team is always close but no cigar. It's lunchtime. The characters have assembled in Marylebone for the first pre-match drink. This is the besotted Pride of West London European Championships 2020 final podcast. And it's interesting because we've not done any podcast throughout the Euros, even though I've been at every single game so far, just because, I don't know, we've had a little bit of a break, didn't want to jinx it. And also, we just thought, tell you something, let's just give football a little bit of a rest, let's see how it goes. And England have done the business. They've come all the way through and they're at the final hurdle, it is, where they're playing Italy at Wembley today. So we thought we'd do a bit of a before, during and after podcast today. And we're here sitting outside the Duke of Wellington pub here in Marylebone. Early starts, early doors here with a few members of the crew.
who are out here today just enjoying themselves. We've had some proper laughs in this Euros, as we said. Not quite being quite the same as going abroad. There's nothing better than going abroad and watching your team play abroad, but we've made the best of it as we can do, and we've been to all sorts of weird and wonderful places, drinking before the game and hanging out before the game, and just really good. And my name's Billy Grant, and I'm sitting here with the crew, and I'm just going to say, first of all, say to you, you've got the Blade in the house. You enjoy the Euros so far, haven't you?
I think everyone's enjoyed the Euros so far, haven't they? What's not to enjoy? Yeah, it's been amazing. You know, England finally turning up for a tournament, performing like we always hoped and dreamed they could. Team looks together, squad looks together, amazing bunch of players, great options all over the pitch. And we're getting results, and you know, everyone was doubting Gareth after the Scotland game, but it feels like we've learned how to play in a tournament as well. And it's, you know, we're here in the final. Hopefully, it's a great opportunity for us to bring the trophy home.
Brilliant opportunity, and again, you know, we'll talk, you know, more about this. I mean, I don't think everyone was doubting Gareth actually. But I just think that it's a case that, you know, again, when I said this, we'll talk about this later, but you know, if you've been to loads of tournaments, you know, we went to Brazil one time, and we you know, it took me 5 days to get there, and we were knocked out after four. You know, literally being in that country for 4 days and going home, we just didn't want to feel that in again. So you know, whatever Southgate had to do to ensure that we got out of the group stages, I was happy with that, and absolutely delighted. And you can say this now, you got to the final, like you did the right thing, which is all good. Listen, we've had some jokes as well. You've got the soups in the house here as well. Like I said to you, a mix of fans here, but lots of bees, of course, like, you know. And like I said to you, we've been in the stadium for most of the games. You have soups anyway. Didn't get for the earlier rounds, a little bit nervous, but then the Germany game just tipped it, you know. It sort of kind of, you could just put it behind you, that the fact you didn't get to the first three games, couldn't you, that Germany game?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the group stages, they weren't that exciting. The job was done. We got through group winners, and then I got tickets for the Germany match, and oh blimey, the entire day, the build up, the anticipation, thinking we can beat them this time, and the stadium was just rocking. Everyone was well up for it. Again, we did the job late on. Absolute potty scenes, limbs all over the shop. I've still got a bruise from that game on my thigh from that, but it was well deserved. Bit of war wounds. Absolutely loved it. It's absolutely brilliant. We had a really late night. I thought we took it on from there. Obviously, we went to Rome. Well, the team and squad.
You didn't go to Rome.
I didn't go to Rome.
You know, there's some among us did, but we won't go into that.
Shush about that. But yeah, it wasn't me. Again, did a very effective job. 4-0 in the quarterfinal. Blimey. That doesn't really happen, does it? But it did. Brought it home. Again, the semi-final, another tense affair, but Wembley was rocking. It wasn't quite as rocking as the Germany game because it was so tense what was on the line. Getting to the first final since 66 was on the line. But again, we did the job, potty scenes, into a final, and here we go.
Here we go, indeed. Here we go, indeed. Listen, we've got the Blades. The Blades have come down as well. And fortunately, it was really weird because we obviously went to Borough, which was we had a fantastic weekend up in Borough, didn't we? You know, sort of Runswick Bay and Whitby and that part of the world. If you haven't been up there, beautiful. Borough is a fantastic city. It's a fantastic town or city, whatever it is. Brilliant people, really, really friendly people. And then if you go up to the coast up there, it's just beautiful up there. And we had a fantastic time up there. And then we came down. Unfortunately, you guys didn't get the tickets. So it was just a hard call that went to the first three matches as well up there. But like I said to you, the reunion came for the Germany game. But you've really enjoyed the Euros, haven't you?
Oh, it's just been amazing. And I'm gutted we didn't get to go to Copenhagen, Dublin or Rome. But, you know, to be in Wembley for them matches, you know, it's just been, what can I say? It's something, I feel really, really blessed. And the gang that we're with, they're just ace. And it's good characters. Love the football. Love the crack before the game. But we're not too crazy. We're pacing. Pacing's been the theme of this tournament. And actually, it's got us a long way. So hopefully, we're going to do the business tonight. Come on, England!
So what you didn't pace, though, is you didn't pace the bruises that you got in that semi-final game when we played Denmark, did we? Because you was knocked left, right and centre all over the place. It was absolutely potty, wasn't it?
Oh, it's been shocking. I'm absolutely black and blue, but it's worth it. And I won't be climbing on the chair tonight. No way. Health and safety all the way for me now.
It's got it, health and safety. Listen, we got the man in the house who's he's looking more, probably a little bit more nervous that, you know, that you're facing Brentford the first game of the season than you are nervous about this game tonight, aren't you?
Brentford?
No, not nervous at all about that.
The Arsenal, that is. You see. What's coming out of his mouth and what's on his eyebrows is two different things.
Don't worry about that. But today, yeah, looking forward to today's game.
I mean, your Euros. How has your Euros been? Because obviously, like we've been. I mean, I met you in Japan 2002. We've done pretty much every single tournament since then together. We've been everywhere from South Africa to Russia to Brazil. Everywhere we've had some proper jokes. And then, okay, it's been great having it on home turf, but it's not quite been the same, has it? You know, people. You know, like today. People are turning up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, whereas beforehand you'd be turning up 3 or 4 days beforehand, innit?
I know what you mean. I was actually thinking that coming here today. I mean, yesterday, for instance, I was doing bits of decorating, and the night this is the game before I made the tournament, and I know that if we were out in South Africa somewhere, I must have would have strolled in at 4 o'clock in the morning. We would have been singing all day long, going on chanting. So yeah, we've sort of lost that little bit of the vibe, but. Hey, look, we're in a final, so you can't argue with that. So, I'm not saying I'm nervous. I'm just trying to, today, I'm just trying to take it in. Every time people come up to me and they say, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to be the score? I tell them, listen, as far as I'm concerned, we're here now and I just want to take it in. Gareth Southgate has got me to a semi and a final.
Yeah.
So, everything now.
Two semis,
well, and now a final. So, everything to me is a bonus. I feel like Wigan. You know, when Wigan get the final or when Wimbledon. No one went out to Wimbledon when they play Liverpool and said, oh, you better win it. They said, look, just enjoy it. And that's how I feel. Just go and enjoy it.
Remember the last time we saw England, because we don't play England that many times in competitive games at all, you know, and especially in tournaments. I mean, the last time we've only played in Italy twice in tournaments. We played them in Manaus, and that was a disaster, you know what I'm saying, because they beat us in the first game, and then before we knew it, we were out of the tournament. But before that, the one that I really remember is in Kiev. Remember when we were standing up there arm in arm through the penalties, like the players would do, like, you know, arm in arm, begging and praying that we'd actually put them penalties away. Remember that? No.
No, don't. Do you know why? Because Kiev, I went home. I went back.
Oh, it was your brother though. I was arm in arm with. You weren't loyal enough.
I was loyal enough. So I was there for the first few games. I think that's when I was trying to do my tactical little switch of thinking, oh, what, I'm going to go to. I thought we were Germany. I thought I'd go to the first group games and then I'd come back for the semis. If I started to realise that it's not going to happen, so I just kept them following.
Basically, as a schoolboy era there.
Schoolboy is.
You ain't done that ever since, have you?
I've never done that ever since. I've been, yes.
Turned up from day one, and that's it, because you know you're probably going to get knocked out by the quarterfinals.
I think that strategy's changed since, I think since when Roy, because I remember saying to the missus, I said, look, I'm not going home till Roy's coming home. And then that was been my phrase ever since then. So I've been making sure that I stay for him, because look, these things don't come very often. So anyway, let's see what happens.
This was happening as well. So yes, we've got my man in the house here as well. Like I said, you've been to Russia, been to all over the place with you as well. Relatively new on the England front, it has to be said. But then once you jump right in, you jumped in deep head first. Like I said to you, we were meant to be going up to end. That's right, we were meant to be going all over to Copenhagen, we were going to Rome, going to Italy, and we're not going to reveal about the Dublin as well, you know, and we're not obviously not going to reveal you, but apparently there was somebody who went out to Rome.
I know a bloke that went to Rome.
Yeah, could you tell us what the experience was like of that person who went to Rome?
As I hear it, yeah. He had an absolutely great time out there. It was all you know, EU and UAE based England fans, no knobheads basically. Everyone having a great time.
So what the night before?
That tournament vibe, you know, you go out and Italy were playing the night before as well when they won that game, so the streets were just lit with Italy fans going absolutely fucking mental. There was loads of Belgians there, loads of Swiss there, loads of Spaniards there, just everyone out there having a great time.
Who were they supporting? It's interesting.
What, the Italians?
No, the Danes and all these other people.
So, well, I mean, the Danes were supporting Denmark because they were playing just before England.
Okay, but not then. The Belgians.
But a lot of these guys were there to actually go and watch England because it was the only game that they could get to really, realistically in the tournament.
So they were supporting England?
They were supporting England.
Okay, so, yeah. Of course, somebody told you this, of course. Yeah.
This is also, I'm a little scant on details because this is all
second-hand knowledge. That's right, okay. It's not that you went out there yourself.
No, that would be breaking the rules.
That would be breaking the rules, and we don't do rule-breaking here as well. Exactly. So what, in the stadium, what was it like?
Well, I believe my mate said it was kind of empty actually. Yeah, I guess you saw it on the TV as well. It's kind of empty, but I think a lot of the England fans just happened to be in the same blocks together, and you know, bundled all together, made a good amount of noise. Okay. Everyone's quite friendly. No booing, no booing the knee, nothing like that. I think one person booing, and my mate.
Yeah, sorry, but right, not you. Mate, it wasn't you, yeah, it wasn't me, but so it was somebody
mate.
Else.
And my mate asked him, and he goes, "Why are you booing?" And they said, you know, a short discussion, and then the guy was like, "Fair enough."
Okay, fair enough. And what did it feel like when all them goals went in? I mean, like, did you think this is an absolute? This is just an absolute.
Well, obviously, watching on the telly, I thought this was absolutely brilliant.
Okay,
my mate actually missed the third goal because he was too busy talking to the England fan next to him. And next thing you know, goal! Way! Brilliant. But we never expected it to be that one-sided a game.
And coming out of the stadium, what was the vibe? Because we saw the pictures on the news. There was lots of England fans just going absolutely potty for it.
Yeah, so it's kind of it's a tale of two entrances. On one side of the stadium is where I think Sky and all the and them lot, they were all filming. That's where loads of England fans were flooding out of. My mate happened to be in the other end.
Your mate, that is. It's not you, but you.
No, your mate.
Yeah, my mate.
So my mate was in the other end, but he came out. He joined in the celebrations on the other side. Everyone's having a great time. The Ukrainians were a little bit, you know, they weren't bitter.
Happy.
They weren't bitter. They weren't necessarily unhappy. I think you kind of saw it at the end of the game when Shevchenko went over to the Ukraine fans and the Ukrainian team came up with them. I don't think they ever expected to get that far anyway. It's a little bit of a shame that they went out on, you know, a big loss for them, obviously. But there was no bitterness, there's no trouble. I was, you know, sorry, my mate was having a couple of drinks with...
That's your friend, that was.
Yeah, my mate, he was having drinks with a couple of Ukrainians the night before as well. It was all friendly, it was all love.
Right, so listen, so you're just getting a little vibe of what we know of our European Championships, and obviously my friend here, his friend, this unnamed friend of his who apparently went over to Rome, and we'll say no more about that as well. But you know, you've got the eyebrows raised here, and I think everyone gets what the drift is. So but there's no criminalisation of anybody here going on anyway. But anyway, listen, we're going to finish up our drinks, have some food, and then we're going to head down to the station. We're going to talk to some characters en route. So before every England game, we always meet in our very special bar, literally a stone's throw from the stadium. This particular pre-match, the bar was very lively, with a wide range of characters, all with smiles on their faces. Most of us were totally unaware of the carnage that was going on more than 5 minutes walk away down Wembley Way. We were properly enjoying ourselves. This is what the characters had to say. So here we are in the boozer beforehand. The boozer beforehand, and we've got all characters up on board. Very, very excited about the game. Listen, we're just coming up to the European Championships final today against Italy. How excited are you?
Oh, made up, son. I tell you know, I'm 51 years old. I'll probably never see another England in the final. Now, my boy's 17. He can't be here today. Gutted for him, I have to say. But, you know, this is it. We're going to win it 2-0.
Well, that's it, because I wasn't going to ask if you're going to win it, because I'm in this situation where I'm just thinking we should be here to enjoy it and we can't predict anything, and every year we always think that we're going to do the business, but I just think that we just to be in the situation where I'm happy to be here, you're happy to be here. Listen, so many happy smiling faces around here, isn't it?
Absolutely, honestly. I'm an optimist rather than a pessimist, you know. The people around here, they're all happy to be here, without a shadow of a doubt. I think Russia last year... I think Russia last year was the turning point of the optimism of this team. Southgate has brought us on as a team, and we are, you know, he represents what we stand for, a country, as a team. And, you know, he's a top manager.
Top manager, and he's very enthusiastic. So listen, we're talking about this. No. We're in the, and we're not going to say where we are, because this is our top secret location. This is up beside Wembley Vibes location.
Nice.
And as you see, people don't know about this one, but the vibe in here has been wicked, isn't it?
Oh, incredible, man. Incredible. Can't wait to get in there. It's bubbly, it's lively. First England game, you're loving it, aren't you?
Are you loving it?
Yeah.
Tell me you're loving it. Say yes.
Yes.
How much are you loving it? How much are you loving it, Ben? How much are you loving it?
A lot. Say a lot. Speak, you have to speak.
A lot.
Yeah, he's loving it a lot as well.
A lot, yeah.
So listen, I mean, obviously, you know, England semi-final at home. You know, did you think, I mean, semi-final, final at home, did you think we'd get this far?
I never, ever dreamed of getting this far, especially after the Scotland game. But you know what? Gareth, fairness to him, he's called every decision right. And the boys, it feels different this time. It feels different, doesn't it? So I'm thinking we're going to do it. It's going to happen.
Look, you know, interesting, because this World Cup, and for me, I say World Cup, I keep saying World Cup, I'm so used to going to
World Cup. Feels like the
Russia.
World Cup.
Yeah, it's really weird, actually, it does. European Championship, I mean, for me, I mean, I'm a Black England fan who has been going for years and years as well. You're a Black England fan as well, have you coming here? There's obviously been, you know, a number of things that have gone on, and I'm not putting the negativity down on it, you know what I'm saying? You're still here today.
Yeah.
I mean, what are your thoughts about, like, the diversity, about how included that you and all your friends feel on this lot, and what are your feelings?
So it's a really good question, because being honest with you, 5-10 years ago, I struggled to support England because I didn't feel the team representing me. The whole nature of what the England, you know, the St George's Cross represented was quite uncomfortable growing up.
Why is that? Then do tell me.
It was a symbol of the National Front growing up, right? It was difficult to really identify with the England team and what England, at least from a football perspective, was stolen to represent. This current team, not just the diversity on the pitch, but how they behave, and Gareth Southgate deserves a ton of credit for what he's actually decided to bravely just present as what the England team stands for. It just feels very different and inclusive now. And it's a team I feel connected to and proud to be involved with.
Which is interesting, because me, I've been going for 30-odd years, and even though that may have been going around England, I have actually kind of like gone, I don't care what's going on.
Right.
I have to be here. Yeah. And if anyone doesn't like it, And I've done that. And I must admit, I got quite a lot of question marks from my Black colleagues and my Black friends.
Did you? Yeah.
Saying, why are you going to England? And I'm saying, probably you would have thought the same thing.
Mate, totally. One of my boys, just 2 weeks ago, during a tournament, he was wearing his England shirt. Black guy come up to him in the street and said, mate, you're a sellout. What are you wearing that for? Right? And that's born out of historical difficulty association with the England team, right? And yeah, I felt I had that myself, but it feels very different now. Everything the England team stands for, the whole stance on big issues, regardless of how uncomfortable that might be for people, it feels very different being involved with this team. I'm very proud to support this team and I feel included. Yeah, as a fan and also
you brought your son here as well, and your son is how old is he?
He's 6 years old. It's his first England game, so he's done quite well for his first game. You know, I had no reservations about bringing him. It's a bit loud on the tube coming over. That was one moment he felt a bit scared. But otherwise, it was just fantastic.
Enjoy the game today, man. You're going to enjoy it. Yeah, that's good. So he's going to enjoy it as well. Nice one, yeah. So listen, we got the Walton House here, but this isn't about club football. This is about international football. And like me, I mean, I've been around with you all over the world, trying to get some sort of a result from England. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling confident, but it's going to be tight, isn't it? So 0-0 half time, 1-1 full time, penalties.
Jesus Christ, I mean, he's gone
It's going to be.
I wasn't even asking him for the ball. I was just asking how you felt. I was just giving you a full.
It must be, though.
Statistical rundown, like I was saying, but there you go.
And you know why that is? Because they're not playing Connor Cody. If they're playing Connor Cody, we'd win 5-0 easily.
There you go. Listen, he's got it all sorted, like I was saying. We've got the lady in the house here, and the lady is here. Laney stepped away from England for a few years, but you're back for the big game. BG Laney.
Good afternoon, Bill. yeah, absolutely. I feel blessed to be here today. We owe Italy 100%. I was in Kiev when they beat us on penalties in the Ukrainian Euros. I'm really, really buzzing. I'm confident. You know, everywhere I look, you know, Italy are a very, very good team, but we're every bit as good as them. And, you know, and I've bored the besotted listeners all season going, it's a nine-month season, don't write us off, don't get down in the dumps, don't say Brentford aren't going up. Wait until what happens at the end of the season. And you wait what happens until the end of the tournament. There's been times during this tournament I've not been really particularly happy with the way we played, but it's about playing the whole tournament, the whole 4 weeks, and we're in the final. And there's so many good teams that I've seen this tournament that aren't there. Holland aren't there, France aren't there, Belgium aren't there, you know, Scots aren't there. you know, we are there on merit. Italy have got every reason to be scared of us, as we've got to be scared of them. I believe it. It's coming home, Bill. We are probably going to do a Brentford England double today.
Oh, actually, I have to step away from that because of the touch word because he said far too much. But listen, we've got a Leon in the house here as well. So the Leon in the house. Listen, we've got the man in the house here, and look. You've been to, listen, we were in Euro 2004 together. Oh, yeah, we've been to games together. When England, you know, to be fair, England, if you compare to that team, they should have probably won that tournament that time, but it didn't happen. We've cut short so many times. Well, we're in the final now, and how are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, how am I feeling? Jeez, I mean, I'm here with my little daughter.
Which is nice, man.
She's 9 years old.
It's a family thing, you know what I'm saying?
It's amazing that she's here. She's experiencing the good and bad of football fans, or the getting used to football fans, anyway, which we all go through.
The liveliness of some characters, which you have to kind of just, like, compartmentalise, I think.
Exactly. We've all been through it, and she's going through it today, so it's interesting just seeing that journey. But no, it's amazing to be in a final. Absolutely incredible. And it's a team that are just great people. Like, it's a manager that I've got to have the privilege of having lots of conversations with. And what you see is what you get with this guy. He's absolutely top draw. He's a lovely guy. He has morals. He thinks about things. The players, I've been around a lot of these players. I know a lot of these players very, very well. They are really genuinely good people, good young people, trying to do good things. And it's an England team I think we can all be really proud to get behind. And I think lots of my mates who've played in previous England teams have gone on to tell in their books and films stories about why the teams were divided, etc., etc.
And why? Why were they divided?
I think it was to do with club loyalties. I think it was to do with having no real affinity and connection with England. I think it was to do with the English FA being out of date at that time and not in tune with its fans, not in tune with the country as a whole. So now we're in a different space, and it's just wonderful to be in a final, looking around Wembley as we are now, seeing black, Asian, women, young kids, disabled people.
Even people in our crew here, as you can see, man. Our crew is as diverse as it gets, you know what I'm saying? Asian, women, men, everything, isn't it?
Yeah, and everybody looking out for each other, which is absolutely lovely. And the more of this that we see, and we know it exists beyond this group. You've made a big effort, and everyone's made a big effort to make sure everyone feels welcome, as it should be. But now it's kind of like a case of this is becoming the norm. People are doing these things in this right way. So if you're listening to this,
I'm going to say this because obviously we've known each other for years as well. You used to work for Kick It Out. I did a lot of stuff for Kick It Out. A lot of really great stuff for Kick It Out. Big conferences in big nightclubs with DJs and Norman Jay and Chris Powell and big people and stuff like that, which kind of really worked as well. So we've gone back a long time. But you were always a little bit reticent about the England thing, right? When I used to go, to be fair, and I'm just saying, but you used to question me as a black person going, and you couldn't understand why I would go as an England fan. For me, my thing was that I had to stand up for what I believe is right. I'm a football fan, and no one's going to give me any shit. No one.
Yeah.
I'll just stand up there and I'll just say, listen, you know. But the thing about it is that a lot of black people were a little bit like, listen, we're not ready for this now, and I understand it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
No, absolutely. And we have different tolerance levels. We have different experiences. And even now, me being here at this game, saying, come on, England, people are sending me DMs saying, well, you've changed your tune, and I'm not really down with this. Some people, not lots of people, certainly nowhere near the amount of people before. And I'm explaining to them, I have a connection now with this team because it represents something completely different to what it did 10 years ago, 20 years ago to me. And I would like to think, and I've seen it on social media, that lots of people are saying a very similar thing. They come on a journey, and now, today, many people are pulling on an England shirt for the very first time. And that is hugely significant, and we shouldn't underestimate that. And to be fair, Billy, without people like yourself, who was there kind of like going, saying, sod you lot, you racist lot, whatever, I'm here and I'm going to make sure it's inclusive for my people, maybe we wouldn't be here in this position. Like, seriously, because, you know, like the Cyril Regis's and the Laurie Cunninghams, we needed pioneers to stick it out and to stick two fingers up to the racists and to keep coming back. Many black people, they won't do that. They don't have to. They can go back to their own communities. But now, today, we're in a slightly, well, a very different position, and I'm really proud to be part of it. It's the right time for me right now.
Okay, and I appreciate that, and not kind words as well. And what I'll say to you as well, obviously, and Leon is there, you've invented the blacklist as well, which is a recognition of black people within the football community who have done things which is special. And you invented that as well, which is just like, it's not a big, I'm not going to say it's not a big deal, because it is a big deal, but what you felt is that it was very important for people to be recognised for the things they're doing. And you don't have to be the CEO. You could be doing anything within that. You've invented that. And that has just snowballed over the years, which is respect to you as well, because it's almost like you've been doing your little thing in your little area. I'm a fans man. I do my thing in the fans area, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and listen, the Football Blacklist is now hugely recognised. The Premier League are backing it. I've got people in America, people in Africa saying, come and bring the blacklist here, and those are part of our plans to make it international as well as national. And I'm really proud to have played that part. And one of my big things is we haven't had enough fan recognition within the Football Blacklist. We just haven't. But I think that's because the black community and the football community probably haven't respected or acknowledged the fan community as much as it can do. So I am really looking forward to, in the future, there being fan groups, fan activists, being on that blacklist, because they bloody deserve it.
Ricky, listen, enjoy the game. Listen, Ella, as well as his daughter, enjoy the game. You're going to enjoy the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jella's going to enjoy the game as well. Listen, they're all going to enjoy the game. Enjoy yourselves, and I'll catch up with you after the game, okay? Wicked. See you later. Listen, I'm going to go through. I'm going to interview some more people as well. Wicked, see you later.
£1.
You've got £7 as well. Listen, you're not going to get... You won't get a burger for them £7. Not in Wembley, anyway. See you later. Yeah. So, listen, we're going through as well. And I'm going to go... Yeah. We're perusing through to see what's going on. Yeah, listen, so we've got my man here, Leeds man, the Kelvin. I met you in Greece, in Thessaloniki. I took the backdoor route to Greece to go to Russia. It was about 50 pence to get over there through that route. It was wicked. And I met you in Thessaloniki. Our plane was delayed, and we went into town, and we just chilled out and had a bit of a laugh, didn't we?
We had a few drinks in the bar.
That's right.
After a 10-hour delay.
That's right.
And got to know each other.
That's right. And we're here again. And that's what football does. It brings people together.
And since I met Billy, I've got to say, I've met so many people through him, and there's a great team of people.
That's right.
I'm here today. Excited, looking forward to it.
So listen, final, you're hardcore, you go England home and away everywhere like that, but this is the first time again for you, like everyone else, as a final. How does it feel for you?
It's special. I've been to 4 World Cups, all the Euros. I never thought we'd get to a final, but it's extra special because I don't see us losing. I can't see us losing tonight.
Okay, well, I'm going to touch wood here again, because as I'm in superstition mode. So a lot of people are getting very, very over. You know, this is cool. You can do your thing. And I'm saying, and I think it's nice that you're positive, but it's not a problem. It's not a problem. But I'm just saying, whatever happens, happens. Because I'm very scared. Because
if England make no mistakes, e.g., say Phillips doesn't go in with a daft tackle and get sent off, England will win. Just keep it calm. Keep it calm, England will win.
Pace. England. Keep it calm, England will win. Listen, we got the man, the original man, as you all probably know him as well from my blogs, from my posts, from my Facebooks, from my whatever, everything that I do. The original man who's gone to me. I met him on the way to Brazil, just before I went to Brazil. And since then, we've been travelling to England together all the time. The original man, the Spanish Dave, is in the house.
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
I'm well, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all good, man. So listen, you're a bit late today. You come down a bit late, didn't you?
I saw my tickets out.
I saw his tickets out, which is all good. But listen, the Spanish Dave, you and me, we keep on talking about how we never got to that pinnacle, to that final. We're here today. Does it feel a bit weird?
Very much so. I must admit, I didn't think this day would come. Without being negative, you kind of get the feeling that we might have missed out. We've had a few so-called golden generations who couldn't make it. But something's clicked here, and here we are.
So here we are here today, and what I'm trying not to do is I don't want to do a prediction, because there's no point doing a prediction or anything like that. What I'm going to do is, I mean, how has this tournament been for you compared to other tournaments?
It's been very different. Being at home is very weird. Having empty stadiums because of the COVID has been weird. It hasn't really been that we're away, get involved vibe, but I don't know. It's built up. Definitely the Germany game was good vibe. The semi was good, and this is looking good now. It's very busy.
Yeah. I wonder, do you think, in a way, it's kind of helped us? Because we've been playing behind closed doors for a year or so, and we played almost behind closed doors for the first three games. So there's probably less pressure for the team. Do you think? And then the Germany game came where there was a lot of, like, whoa. They got over that. Then they said after that, we're quite happy to go to Rome with no fans. It's almost like they were quite happy to have no pressure. What do you reckon?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at that game against Ukraine in Rome, that's probably our best performance. Admittedly, we scored four goals, so it makes the performance look better. Maybe there's some theory in that. Yeah, what you're saying, that, yeah, maybe playing without so many fans in the stadium has helped us. You know?
So today, I mean, listen, you're here amongst friends. It's, honestly, I'm smiling here because it's like everyone's here. We managed to get everyone a ticket. You know, I even went on the UEFA website this morning and I managed to get Laney a ticket, who I used to travel with to England years before, and I got him a ticket. I've got, you know, your missus, she got a ticket as well. Yeah, she's been to a couple of games, but she didn't have one. And one of our crew as well, who went to Rome and everything like that, he didn't have a ticket, which we're gutted about. Managed to get him a ticket as well. It's always the positivity. So yeah. I'm really happy that we're all here together. There's no one missing. There's no one missing.
We're all here, and this is how it should be. Yeah. You know, we've all met over the years, starting back in, like you said, Brazil, various other World Cups. People have joined the group as we go along, and it's good to see every face here. I can't think of anyone who's actually missing, which is good. It's how it should be.
That's right. And talking about people that are missing, he's not missing at all. We've got the Geordie John in the house. Geordie John, this is brilliant. That Geordie John in the house. There was a thing that happened.
What's happening?
There's a thing that happened to Geordie John. He loves changes. He loves changes, doesn't he?
Bill, that's exactly what I was going to say to you. It's all about changes. Gareth knows when to make changes. Roy Hodgson didn't know when to make
and
changes.
And he said it 3 years ago, didn't he?
5 years ago.
5 years ago, yeah.
Exactly. And what happened the other night, he brought Grealish on. We took the lead and he took Grealish off. That's how to make changes. That's what it's all about.
That's right. So the changes are there. So, I mean, you haven't got to, because you know, with Brescia, we sit in the semi-final. It's funny, I managed to put you in a Brentford top, even though you're a Geordie.
Yes.
And it's all on Channel 5 TV.
Yeah.
Geordie John in a Brentford top.
Never lived it out.
You never lived that one down, have you? But listen, you have to do that. There was a reason for it, but we won't go into that. You know,
Billy, the only top I wouldn't have wore is a Sunderland top.
Yeah, we know that. We know that. But you'd do anything for a ticket, wouldn't you?
Of course I would. And I tell you what, I wouldn't sell this ticket for the world.
Yeah.
Nobody could buy this ticket for tonight.
Yeah, and you went out as well, because you bought two semi-finals, two final tickets, didn't you?
I'll be like you, mate. I've been 31 years I've been watching them, and I've been waiting for this all my life, and I thought it was never going to happen.
And this is what I said, this is what makes me well up. Football fans who go, you know, you don't understand, you know. My daughter, you know, she's brilliant, she's here, and she's been really lucky, because it's her first tournament. She's been to the Women's World Cup. Okay, and then she did that, and then all of a sudden she goes, "Dad, take me to the Euros." So I've got a ticket all the way through to the finals. Yeah. She's got a ticket for the final.
Brilliant.
I mean, she just doesn't know what's happened. She doesn't understand. Well, she does actually understand, actually, because she says to me, "You're just used to losing, Dad. Brentford, you lose. England, you lose." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she's so lucky because she's actually come here. Whether or not we win or lose today, we've got to the final, and that's all that really matters.
Well, that's like me. I've watched England 31 years. I've watched Newcastle 40 odd years. And I honestly thought I was never going to see either of them win anything in my lifetime. So, this could be it.
So, but what was with you with Russia in that Brentford top that you brought? What was it all about?
It was all about you.
All right, we won't go into that. Listen, I'll have a look around to see what else is going on down here. So, listen, going down. I'm going to... Hey, how are you doing? So, listen, Belzy, this is your first... We're talking about this. Everyone here is crying because they've like seen England lose so many times. This is your first tournament and you've seen England get to the final. How has this tournament been for you?
It's been really good because like when you go to your first tournament, you don't really expect like that good stuff to happen. You just want to enjoy the time. And this time we've got to the final, so that's like really good.
I'm going to ask you because I'm not with Vanny, but you're my daughter, you're only 12 years old, but we had a little bit of beef even in the early rounds because you were going, England aren't going to get through. You kept saying, England aren't going to get through, they're not very good. Oh, you're a little bit negative about England. And I was like going, don't worry, they'll turn it around. But are you surprised they turn it around?
Yeah, but I never said that.
Oh, yeah, you've done the old denial. You've done the daughter denial, so I'll have to take it back later. But anyway, but listen, well, this is all good, but listen, who has done the business for you? What's your favourite game?
I don't really have a specific favourite game, but maybe Germany game.
Why is that then?
Because it's Germany.
It's Germany as well. What about the atmosphere?
Oh, it was really good because everyone was singing. Everyone was really happy. It was like the best game I've been to, probably.
You've had a few people jump on top of you, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. I fell off the chair.
I had to save you as well. You know what I'm saying? So which was all good. So we got the Germany game. We watched the other game in a Danish bar. Remember that one? Because we couldn't go to Rome. You know, one of our friends here went to Rome. We talked to him a little bit earlier. We can't mention his name because obviously for certain reasons we can't mention that. He went to Rome. But we saw him on the TV. Do you remember? We saw him. We were in the Danish bar. We saw him on the TV.
Yeah.
How did that feel, seeing one of your friends on the TV that probably shouldn't have been there?
It was funny.
It was. So what are you thinking about today? I'm not asking you to give a result. How are you feeling today? Are you nervous?
No, I'm not that nervous. No. I'm a bit nervous, but not as much as I was nervous for the Germany game or the Denmark game.
Yeah, you're really nervous for those two, aren't you?
Yeah.
So is it whatever? So if they lose today, you'll be just like kind of whatever?
Yeah, because I'm happy that we got to the final anyway.
That's all good. That's a great attitude.
As we made our way to the game, it was definitely much busier on the turnstiles. Lots of characters loitering, people trying to jump in with us when we tried to enter the turnstiles. It wasn't anything that we couldn't handle, but it was just a little bit annoying, that's all. We got in, my crew plotted up behind the goal. The stadium was jammed. There's no way there were 60,000 in Wembley that night. There were three, maybe four people to a seat in places, and we were smack bang right in the middle of the cauldron that was block 111. The game is on. We've hardly kicked off, and Luke Shaw puts England ahead. Wembley erupts.
So yes, 1-0 up, England. We're in the stadium here. Atmosphere's electric, and early goal. I mean, it could have
been bamboozled. It's got everyone off guard. No one was expecting the early goal after 3 minutes.
It's bad, isn't it? At this end, again, it's all went off. Everyone's falling all over the place, weren't they?
It's just crazy.
No, but the thing about it is now, it's almost like we had to hold out 87 minutes now. We've got to hold out. You know, I've been looking at that clock like every literally minute, haven't I? But the Italians, you know, and I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to say anything as a touch wood, but the Italians at the moment now, they're passing the ball around nicely.
They've had a lot of possession.
But they haven't.
A hell of a lot of possession.
Yeah, but you know, it's about getting it into the right area, and they haven't got there yet, have they?
Yeah, we know from watching Brentford that possession doesn't win you a game, does it?
Yeah. So listen, yeah, we'll see. We'll check back with you in a minute, but it's very nerve-wracking at the moment. Are you nervous?
I'm trying to keep nerves under wrap, but it's very difficult. That's such a long way to go. We're doing well. 1-0 up, but blimey, so much could happen. Keep on going, England.
You normally get nervous during matches. You get nervous during games. Are you nervous?
Yes, I'm so nervous. Yeah. I can't really talk. I'm speechless with nerves.
Listen, people can't. Listen, like I said, we're 23 minutes into the game. It's halfway through the first half. England got possession again, and it's really weird because there's like. There's much free flow of expression here on the terraces. Everyone's got potty for it. We were really nervous to get Denmark, but now, like, everyone's really up for it. But we need another goal. So I'll check back in a minute and see how it goes.
More than halfway through the first half now, and England were in control. The fans were feeling this moment.
So we're about half an hour into the game, and it's looking quite good as well. And like I said, we seem to be getting quite a lot of quite a lot of stuff on action on the wings, isn't it?
Yeah, especially on this right wing here with Trippier. He seems to be getting quite a bit of luck down here. Obviously, the goal came from that wing as well.
I mean, the Italians, possession game, they're passing the ball around, but they're not, like I said, they're not getting into the right areas. Touching wood here, because it can happen at any time, but we seem to be doing well in just trying to keep them at bay.
We are, yeah. I think I said this earlier, by keeping hold of the ball and stopping them getting the ball, like Spain did in the last in the semi-final. Italy struggle a bit. Their game plan at the moment and during the Euro seems to be having all the possession. They don't really have an idea when they haven't got possession.
again, we've got, they're just giving the ball away again. Once again, we've got Kane inside there, and we're just kind of just playing around with them a little bit. It's just really weird. I mean, I'm sitting there talking in the middle, half an hour into the game. I'm sort of semi-nervous, but at the same time, I sort of feel semi-comfortable.
Yeah, it is. The early goal helps settle all the nerves, I think. Obviously, without pointing out the obvious, another one would be great. Now,
we need to get to half-time, don't we, basically?
Yeah, half-time like this or another goal for us would be brilliant.
Italy equalised in the 67th minute with Bonucci burying the ball after the initial shot rebounded off the post. To be fair, England were actually a bit unlucky. If that ball had rebounded anywhere else, it would have been cleared. But it was coming. Italy were piling on pressure on England, who were happy to sit back and soak it up. Squeaky bum time now.
So we've gone into extra time here. And that second half was a little bit nervy, I have to say, wasn't it? The Italians were keeping hold of the ball. And you could feel that something was coming, even though like they weren't creating loads of chances, but you just felt something was coming, didn't you?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, it was just different than the first half. You could feel the pressure building. You could feel that they were starting to look a little bit more dangerous. And it was no surprise when they got the goal. But it felt like 10 minutes to go, we were starting to get right back into it and we were starting to play a lot better. But again, that little passage at the end of the game, you know, when they hold possession, we just don't seem to know how to build back into it, do we?
How are you feeling?
Oh.
How are you feeling?
Very, very nervous. But, you know, look, we've got to give it a go now. We've got 30 minutes to go for this and we've got to go for it. We don't want penalties, we want to do it. We want to do it in these 30 minutes. Come on, we can do it.
We need to get more than Sterling into the game, don't we? Sterling's the one man running forward that seems to really, really frighten them. And we just need to get someone up in support with him to give them a little bit more to think about.
Stalemate after 90 minutes. Stalemate after extra time. We're here again, the dreaded penalties. But after winning in Russia and winning in Porto, is England's penalty hoodoo behind them?
Full time's gone, extra time is gone, and we're back here again. Penalties again. How are you feeling?
You just knew it was going to be penalties, destined to be penalties. But the last two penalty shootouts I've seen England, we won them, so.
But still, it's a heart stopper though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's a heart stopper. Listen,
Absolutely anything can happen now.
And I can't help think that the Italians, they were looking towards this, I don't know. Because they were like a little bit of time wasting. They seemed to be happy to just buy the time out, run the clock down, keep the draw.
I think they've kind of run out of steam. They've done all of their substitutions. They made all six substitutions all the way throughout the game, because that high intensity game, you can't keep up for the whole 120, can you?
So penalties, how are you feeling?
Sick. Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. Let's just do it. I don't know how. Just start school more than them. Come on.
Let's do it. David in the corner. How are you feeling? Penalty shootout again. Once again, we're here again. We're here once again. Yet another penalty shootout behind the goal. And
Let's hope it's up this end. Just for something to do at this end, I suppose, isn't it? I don't know, really. I don't really want to say.
I mean, at the end there, he took a bit of time making them substitutions. They were penalty led, weren't they?
Of course, that's what he was doing. Waiting to just bring them on to take penalties. Simple as that. Take off two defensive players. Here we go.
Overall, I mean, look, you know, we went 1-0 up. They got the goal back. You know, came off the post and they got the rebound. Do you think, you know, it was a fair result, 1-1 as it was?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. We didn't really push on when we got 1-0 up, did we? And then, but neither did they, so I think we were both happy to see it out in the end, weren't we, 1-1?
I'm not going to ask you about these penalties, because it's not right. It's not right.
England was so close, but it wasn't to be. Saka, Sancho and Rashford all missed their spot kicks. The Italians were victorious. There's nothing worse than seeing the opposition team celebrate a final win on your own turf. But fair play to Italy, they stuck with it and they took their chances.
So it wasn't to be. It was a case of three not great penalties. At the end of the day, it was a tight game. But, you know, when it comes to penalties, it's a bit of luck. And again, luck just didn't go our way, did it?
apparently there's an argument to say that if you lose on penalties, you don't really lose.
Yeah, I said that a bit earlier. So we did all right then, didn't we?
Yeah, at least we know what it's like to lose in the final, right?
We do. Listen.
Qatar next, isn't it?
Qatar next, let's see if we can go one step further.
What came after was two contrasting situations. Saka, Sancho and Rashford were racially abused for missing their penalty shots. My 12-year-old daughter Bella expressed her views very succinctly on BBC Breakfast News, what she thought of the abuse on her England idols.
Tell me then, what's your reaction to the racist abuse that those three players have received overnight?
And I just think it's unacceptable because your race doesn't change the way you take a penalty. And, like, you can't just abuse someone just because they missed a penalty when millions of people are watching them. They're under pressure. You can't just abuse someone just for that. And I think it's just disgusting.
But at the same time, there is enormous pride for the England team and how they carried themselves throughout the tournament.
A disappointment last night, of course, but a lot of hope here, Billy.
There's definitely a lot of hope. I've got a lot of pride for this team. Gareth Southgate, Chris Powell, his team behind there, all the players who stood up for, you know, what is right about, you know, modern England is what I believe in. Like, you know, so many people can actually get behind this new team, this new diverse team. And lots of my friends who would go nowhere near England, like, you know what I'm saying, because of the bad reputation it had, you know, some racism, some, you know, violence and stuff like that. But all of a sudden, that's been put to bed this tournament to a certain extent, where a lot of my friends said, actually, we actually feel a connection with this team. And the team went out and they stood with us as fans, because I've been on the terraces where things have happened to me, where I've got beaten and I've got abused and I felt on my own. But for once, I felt the team is actually behind me, you know, saying, we've got your back. You know, and we've got your back, and also a lot of the people in the country as well. My friends have said exactly the same thing. That team's got our back because we want to support them.
All in all, naturally, we are disappointed. England had lost yet again, and once again, our country has been shown in not the best of lights. But let's look on the positive side. We've seen England in a major final for the first time in our lives. This team has won over a whole load of new admirers, and the actions of a odious side of England support has actually galvanised the silent majority into voice, and at the end of the day, that's a win in my books. Roll on Qatar.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.